Love Talk Radio.
Well, you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, and I could tell everyone my love. You thought I was worth. So you came. You thought I was worth. And you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was the devil. So you sacrificed your life, no one could be free. Oh, everyone that you thought I was worth. So you came, you thought I was worth. So you cleaned me up and you sacrificed your life so I could be free. You thought I was worth. So you cleaned me up and I was to so you sacrificed my love so I could be free, so I could be whole, and I could tell everyone what time you thought I was. So you came up so you break me up inside. You are the Lord. So you sacrifice so I can be free.
Oh,
About the word of God. I'm excited about God. He thought I was worth saving. But that just, it's so much meat on that bone right there. No one else have of me but God. Trust me. God have that opinion of you regardless to what you think or feel. He thought you was worth save it. And because we do serve a big God, and he's bigger
than pension retirees, if you're willing,
he's bigger than what our mind tells us. He's bigger than what the enemy tried to tell us. He's bigger than all of that. And I just wanted someone to know that today, that he's bigger than that. And you have to know he's bigger than that. So, if you know that, you know because you know. Bigger than what we think.
Bigger than a star. You're bigger than the
I just want to give him a little glory. Let him know he's bigger than that. The enemy don't want us to do that, but God deserves the glory. He's bigger than that. He's bigger than the sun and the stars.
You're
eternity. You're bigger. Yes. Dedicated that to myself. It was important that I hear that this morning, because God is bigger than your imagination. He's bigger than the negativity. He's bigger than the stuff that Satan tells you, the lies. He tells you the things that can't happen and won't happen. He's bigger than all of that, and he's bigger than your thought process. See, that's what you got to understand. He's bigger than all of that. And to know that he thought you and I was worthy. He thought you and I was worth. Hallelujah. He thought it. He thought you and I was worth dying for. Hallelujah. I just thank God for each and one of you all. I'm going to ask there's Evangelist Renee. Ask her if she wants to do a word of prayer. I don't know if she's available. But if so, we're going to ask her to do this prayer on this Resurrection Sunday. Evangelist Renee.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Happy Resurrection Day.
Yes.
This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come before you this morning, dear Lord, with thanksgiving in our hearts, thanking you for blessing us to see one more day.
Yes. Yes.
Wasn't because we've been so good. It's because of your grace and your mercy.
Yes.
And I want to take time out to say thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
At this time, dear Lord, we ask you to bless the sick and the shut-in and the bereaved families, dear Lord.
Yes,
Lord, we ask that you will bless every church, all those that are teaching the word of God, the real word of God.
Yes.
That you will bless them, that the unsaved saints will receive that word. And dear Lord, we ask that you will bless the people in high places, dear Lord, for you know what is going on in the world. We just ask that you will bless all of us, keeping us all from danger, seen and unseen, dear Lord. We just thank you for all your many blessings. We ask that you will open our ears and our minds as we get ready to go through our review. If there's anything someone doesn't understand, I ask that you will give them the courage to ask the questions, because we know we have the information. If he ain't got the information, he going to find some paper. He going to get you the information.
You already know. Yes.
We just thank you, dear Lord, for all your many, many blessings. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Evangelist Renee. We got so much to cover, and this is the day that the Lord has made, and yes, we will rejoice in it. And also, it is review time. And I don't know, something was said this week that you want to share, something you like, or something you want to comment on. We're going to open up the broadcast. Just press 1. I can tell you that I could stay here all day long and just talk about his goodness. But we want to hear from everyone that's willing to share something this week that went on that you're just thankful for. And this is the Resurrection Sunday, and we're talking about our review. And you know what? I just love our review. I mean, I love what God did this week with a lot of things. But everybody don't see the spiritual stuff. They just see the stuff in the flesh. They don't see the spiritual. But God allowed us this week to talk about, you know, the things in the spirit, how it works, and that type of thing. But anyway, hearing what the Spirit has to say unto the church is very important. This evangelist sharing, and this evangelist sharing here. Okay, evangelist sharing.
Okay. Right. Good afternoon to everybody.
Yeah,
and thank you for the selection of the records, because I love those records. The one you played, You Told Us to Die For, is one of my favorite. But the other one's good too, but I like that first one. Amen. And so Evangelist Renee, she said a powerful prayer. You know, the sincerity in her voice is just like her sister's. Really? It's uncanny, really. The sincerity and genuineness of their prayers are so awesome.
Sincere,
you know?
Yes.
Yes. And so this week I wanted to thank you, Pastor Beasley, and thank Pastor Bell for, my memory's not good, but I know it was this week, for your perspective, God's perspective. And see, we can mimic Christ and mimic God and do good things and think that, and we have faith and stand on his word, but we have to have God's perspective. It's most important that we have his perspective. That way you know you're dead on it. Like they said, right on money. You hit the nail on the head. You can't miss that way. See, you don't ever use your own perspective. Use God's perspective.
Right.
I mean, it's written down in the book. I mean, why not use it? And you know it's going to work every time. Because really, before you make a decision and your perspective, you're contemplating on the logic that you're using. God already has it figured out. Like you said, Pastor Beasley, his mind is not like our minds. His mind is greater than our mind. So we need to learn to continue to use. If we haven't been using his perspective, we need to start. And if we have been using it, we need to continue it, because it's the only way. That's all I have to say. God bless everybody, and have a happy Easter. Thank you.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you so much. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Anyone else want to comment on anything? Just press one. Yeah, that was a powerful prayer. It was since I was listening to the sincerity of it. And that's what I like. When people want to just speak the truth and not so much their truth, but they want to speak what God is going to like, what
Amen.
God wants to
Amen.
Hear. You know, it's a big difference when you're saying, well, okay,
right.
well, I want to really say what you want me to say. You know, it's good to say what you feel, but when you can just pause for a second and say, Lord, I'm going to say what you want me to say to your people, for these are your people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I thank God for that prayer, too. Well,
yes.
listen, brother and sister,
a good prayer.
Anyone else? Anyone else want to press one? Hallelujah. Want to press one? This is our review.
Amen.
And before we get started, I know we've been talking this week, and I love the fact because last week we were really talking about God's perspective, and now God's perspective is that we hear the word of God, hear what the Spirit has to say unto the church, God's perspective, not man's perspective, but God's perspective. And speaking of perspective, a lot of people don't see Easter from the eyes of God. They don't see Resurrection Sunday from the eyes of God. Some people want to do the same thing every year, year after year.
That's
year
right. Come on,
year.
Pastor. Come on, Pastor.
You know, doing the same thing. Listen, brothers and sisters, she just said the key word. You got to get God's perspective on this resurrection. When will we get God's perspective on the resurrection? That's what I want to know. When will the church teach God's perspective on the resurrection?
Yeah.
It's very important. It's not about no Easter bunny. It's not about going to some church. It's not about dressing up. You know, a lot of people dressing up.
That's
and,
right.
And
That's
it's
right.
a shame they're dressing up. And I understand you, because I've been there, done that. You want to put your prayer, but isn't this a shame you can't dress up what's on the inside? You can't tell people how you've been born again. That should thrill you. That's the message. Remember, this is about good news. And we need to have God's perspective on this, especially on a day like today. And let me tell you, take advantage of it. The Lord told me, he said, you take advantage of it, and yeah, go ahead on with it. I know a lot of people teaching about the resurrection of Christ, and we're going to share a few things about that. But listen, brothers and sisters, this message about the resurrection, it needs to be in God's perspective, how God sees
Amen.
Things.
Amen.
So, let me tell you what the Lord had put in my spirit, and I'm going to share. Unless anybody want to start with what we did last week, we can. If not, I'm going to go with something, and I know it's going to just go totally different than what most people are teaching today. But God's perspective is God's image. He haven't stopped, brothers and sisters. Remember Genesis 1:26? He said, let us make man in our image. It's about the image of God. And the devil get mad when we're personifying the image of God, when we're giving God the glory. Satan don't like that. He wants that glory, but he can't get it. There's God, those that are doing God's perspective, it ain't about what you got on. It ain't none of that. None of that. It ain't about what car you're driving. It ain't about none of that. It's about letting people see Christ have risen in you. And that you have that same image, watch this now, that same image that Christ is risen. He's risen.
Amen.
As he has said. And this happened 2,000 years ago. Now you're talking to Matthew's or is it Mark? Mark 16. He said he has risen as he had said. So he already risen. So why are we going for the last 2,000 years just talking about he's risen? It's more to that, to it than that. The idea here is God's plan, God's perspective, and that is that we be like Christ. So the scripture says this over in Colossians 3, and the first verse says, if you then be risen with Christ. See, we know he's risen now, but if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. Fix your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. See, folks don't really see you. They see you, but they don't see you.
Amen.
God's perspective is that we set our affection on things above. Forget about this life. This, matter of fact, can I be real honest with y'all? This life is over, okay? We're to start living this new life, ready for our eternal journey. And that's God's perspective. So when you read scripture like John 3:16, for God so loved the world, why you do that? So you can have eternal life. So Jesus opened that door, paid the price, so we can have eternal life, so we can be like him. It hasn't changed. God's perspective have not changed. God still wants us, watch this now, to be in his image. And the more we get into his image and glorify him, and the devil can't take it, man. God showed me that. He said the devil can't stand it when you're glorifying me. Because, see, that was his job. Can I say that just one more time? See, it was his job to glorify God, but he wouldn't glorify God. He wanted to glorify himself.
Uh-huh.
I was talking to, I might have been evangelist, Sharon, and we were talking about how people want to glorify themselves, what they done did and how they did it. And so today, you'll be shocked to see people glorifying themselves, what they got on, where they bought it from. See, that's what Satan wants. He don't want you to glorify God and let people see Christ in you. The hope of glory. They don't. Satan don't want that. He'd rather you get up and teach on these little sermons about how Christ resurrected. Man, that ain't no news. Everybody know that. So let's get to the real deal. The real deal is the image. Remember 1 Corinthians 15:49? And as we have borne the image, we have borne this image. On the earthly, he says, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. So when will they teach that? When will they teach that we are resurrected? Our spirit man has been resurrected. Come on, brother and sister. Let's start teaching that. Huh? How about we teach that? That has been God's thing from day one. Remember Genesis 1:27? So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him male and female. He them. See, so that's the image. That's always been God's image. That's always been his plan, that when Christ raised, be risen, we be risen. We be like Christ. Because that's what Christianity really is about. It's like being about being like Christ. It's no one else, no man. Don't get me to preach it. It's no man on the face of the earth could do what, I'm getting evangelist Sharon to help me with this. I know she'll do it. I didn't even ask her. I already know she has that vocabulary. She has the mindset that have the experience. So I'm going to ask her to do something for me in a second. But I got to itch to you guys. No one man can do it all. No one person, as we know it, can do all. The body is too complex. The body is too complex.
Amen.
So, one, that's why we got so many different doctors. That's why we got so many different professions. Because there is no one man can possess all of this but Christ. Now, watch this. When you need something wrong with your foot, what do you get, Evangelist Sharon? What kind of doctor does that call?
A diet.
Yeah. So when something wrong with your eyes, what kind of doctor do you go get?
I'm sorry, I couldn't get to the screen. Okay, you go to an ophthalmologist or optometrist. Optometrists are for really glasses, but ophthalmologist is a person who can help fix your glaucoma and your cataracts and stuff like that.
Okay. And
whoever
foot.
Said podiatrist, podiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
Podiatrist.
And when your heart is in trouble, what kind of doctor you have to go see?
A cardiac doctor.
Uh-huh. So mm-hmm. when you're breathing, so we got all these different professions, because one man can't do the whole body. But watch this. Jesus, see, when they were blind, it was Jesus who took some earth and some saliva, made a paste with it, put it on the man's eyes, told him to go to the pool of Bethesda and wash. He said, I was blind, but now I see. Remember the man was crippled? Remember when the man was crippled? His half foot problem? What did he say? Take up your bed and walk. When the hearing, I forget what the name of some of these doctors, but your hearing, Jesus put his hand on the man's ear. And see, I'm trying to show you, God put everything in Jesus. So whatever you need is in that one man, Jesus. Other than that, you're going to have to deal with 4 or 5 different professors at different and professions. And
absolutely.
That type of thing.
Absolutely. Yes, that's good.
But hey, man, you got it all in one. And did I tell you when you're sad, he can make you happy? Did I tell you when you're lonely, he can be a company? The keeper. And I probably could go on and on and on, and I would spend all day long thinking about what Jesus can do for you. But let's just assume that we all understand that he's all of that and some. I want you to know also, when he died on that great day of death, he freed us. We all became free. He said, you know what? They're worthy. They're worthy of my love. They can't do it, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to take care of their sin problem because they can't. And he died, but he was resurrected. So that proved death could not hold him. The law was the wages of sin was death. So if it was one teeny beany ounce of sin, Jesus wouldn't have been able to be resurrected. He wouldn't have. But that was nothing. But he warned the people. He warned them now over in, there's a lot of scripture. He warned them that if you tear down this temple in 3 days, I'll rebuild it. And that was Jesus' warning to us. But here's what I really love. He gave us access to him personally. So we ain't got to go before the bishop. We ain't got to go before the pope. We ain't got to go and allow man to get in between. We go directly to him. That's the good part. That's the good news. So see, him was resurrected with good news on that Friday. That's why they call it Good Friday. That's celebrated over the whole world. People, this is real. Now, I know they done commercialize it. I get all of that. But before they commercialized it, it was already real. It was already real. Scripture bears that out. Didn't you hear about what happened? What happened? Jesus was resurrected. The man's on their way to Gemara. They said, had y'all not heard what the... Yeah, so the angel had talked to him. And they said, man, Jesus, the Son of God, they crucified him. Yeah. See, people, they didn't forget that great day. We're getting ready to have, I think, like an eclipse in 8 days. And that's a sign that darkness came over the whole earth when Jesus died. The sun couldn't shine. The moon couldn't shine. It was April the 8th. Y'all going to see that occur again. And ever since Jesus did, it's been a sign to let us know what happened. The whole earth was dark. They said it was so dark you could feel it. And this was during his crucifixion. But he rose. He died. And so it's no question if he died. So here's the thing, brothers and sisters, that we really need to get a hold to. What happened after the resurrection? Are you seeking those things above? Or are you seeking the things on the earth? Are you actually having the mind of Christ? Because he says that if you then be risen with Christ, things above. See, that's the difference. People that haven't really been risen with him, they don't seek those things above with Christ. They're not seeking that. They're not trying to get conformed to the image that God has laid out for us. Their affection is not on things above, but on things of the earth. Not knowing, not realizing that they are dead, but alive unto Christ. Awesome. So when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. See, this is about God's glory, man. Satan don't want you to glorify God. The last thing he wants you, so everything is done from the enemy is to keep you from glorifying God, from giving God that glory. So the body of Christ needs to get back to glorifying God. What you wear don't glorify God. Who you know don't glorify God. Those are not the things that glorify God. I had a bunch of stuff in my head earlier that I just wanted to share. And then the Lord just put it in my spirit is to let us know that we need to glorify him. In Matthew's, because it's about this image, man. It's about his image. That won't change. God been wanting us to have the image of Christ. Now, let me go here to, let me read the scripture for you guys over in, I think it's in Mark 16. You go to Mark 16. And, and of course, you can go and read. And for those that don't know, you know, when I was coming back this weekend, the Lord had me on a special mission. But when I came on my way back, I was listening to some things. And then the Lord put in my spirit, you know, the Bible, the full Bible is on a CD. The full Bible is on a jump drive. So you don't have to really read. You don't have to really have the ability to read. It's about hearing. Guess what? God designed it so that even if you are not educated, hope I'm saying this right, that even though you may not be educated enough, and then you could be overeducated. Let me say that too. But he put it on a CD so you can listen to scriptures. I just thought that was phenomenal. The enemy think all this stuff for them. It's not. God allowed this stuff to happen so we can be created in his image after his likeness. They could use it now, but it was designed for us. So there are some people that may not able to read. Maybe they're blind. I don't know. Physically. Maybe they're blind spiritually. So God said, you know what? Jesus ain't stopped working yet. Because if they hear that name, at the name of Jesus, trust me, that's power in that name. But they need to hear it. But that's what we were talking about. They that can hear, you got to be able to hear. So God made it, made provision. So there are players and eight tracks and jump drives and all kinds of, where you can hear the word of God. And you will hear it, then faith cometh. See, so then faith cometh by hearing. Got to be able to hear so you can get the faith. Because that's what pleased God. then you're able to glorify God. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he was resurrected. So in Mark 16, I'm going to share this, and if anybody have any other comments, okay. Mark 16, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked and they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was great. Matter of fact, it was very great in one version. And entered into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were afraid. And he said unto them, be not afraid. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. See, they identifying him, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him, showed it to him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fell from among the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that he had been with him as they mourned and see it in her screen and wept. The very woman that had been a prostitute, the very woman that had I don't even want to get at her. I can spend 20 minutes just talking about her lifestyle. But God trusted this woman because he knew she was going to tell the truth. She knew she had had experience with the Lord, so she could speak the truth. Sort of like that prayer evangelist Renee was praying. She just spoke what was in her heart. And this woman had been with the Lord because she had them devils cast out of her. She was free. We all know the story of Mary Magdalene. She was free. So guess what? She was the one that went and preached the gospel. And the gospel message was good news that he had risen as he had said. That was the good news. He had risen. Hallelujah. I'm not going to hold you guys too long. Anybody else have any other comments from this week? Hallelujah. Anyone? Any other comments? Hallelujah. Well, if not, we'll see you guys on tomorrow for the word at noon. Meanwhile, y'all stay blessed.